Blog Talk Radio.
Another fantastic episode of the CNZ Football Factory. This is Carlos Sardinius. I am currently solo right now. We're here to recap really the last two Jets games that we've had. It's been a wild ride. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Jaguars versus Jets, which was a win. Not a win I was very happy with, but a win nonetheless. And, of course, the Jets losing on Thursday night, which was a gut punch, versus Rex Ryan at home. That was a difficult pill to swallow. But before I get into any of that, I did want to mention one thing. Our thoughts and prayers and everything else, just is going out to the people over in Paris with that atrocity of an attack that happened on Friday. It's still crazy to me. So, you know, above all else, the loss of human life is horrible. And, you know, it's a real tragedy. So we wanted to recognize that. I know saying something about it doesn't really mean much. I think it's time personally for the world to step up and rid themselves of this plague known as the ISIS. Unreal what's been going on out there. But anyways, let's get back to football, something that's fun, something that we could talk about a little bit. Let's talk Jags and Jets first. When we saw the Jets play this past Sunday against the Jaguars, it was really not over with until the very end of the game, where we started getting to Bortles and forcing him to hurry up, and that pressure forced him to make mistakes. So we saw the Jets defense come through, but they make no mistake about it, they were lit up. Bortles had almost 400 yards, and the secondary kind of gave us some fits. We weren't getting to him right away, but you know, overall, a win is a win. And I think we have a caller on the line. I'm pretty sure it's our good friend Robbie Jersey, who does his own show on Blog Talk Radio. Let me bring him on here.
Yo, what's going on, family?
Rob, how you doing, man?
Good, good.
How awesome. Good to hear from you, man. So what did you want to talk about today? There's a whole lot that happened this past week.
I mean, I was more – honestly, the game's going to be disappointing regardless of how you look at it. They play like terrible. I personally think both teams play bad, but they had a shot in winning the game, and they blew it and choked. You play a terrible game and you have an opportunity to win, and you just didn't convert. There's no other way to put it. But most importantly, man, you're always gonna be upset as a diehard fan. But I'll tell you, coming out of that stadium that night, I've been going to games in the Meadowlands since they've been there, like in the 80s, 86, 85, whenever it was. And I was the most embarrassing I was ever felt coming out of the freaking stadium. Because, look, I had a show Bill fans just to walk out of there because they're all celebrating like they won something. And then I've never felt like this before. I mean, I've seen Ray. I've been there for years. I've seen the tickets for over 20 years. I've seen Bills fans. I've seen Steelers fans. These dudes were celebrating. Then I'm on the bus. I take a bus and go to Red Sports Familiar. The area, you know what I'm talking about. I'm waiting in the bus. And Bill fan goes, how's it feel to lose the great coach? He keeps bragging about Rex Ryan. He's calling his quarterback top five. Like, obviously, I got into an argument, but it's like it took everything.
That's a losing battle,
body,
man. That's a losing battle right there.
I'm like, you can have Rex. Like, I don't want Rex. Like, even Rex. Like, I'm sure you heard the press. Other Rex. Even Rex. Come on. He said, "Oh, it's like an ex-girlfriend." No, it's not like an ex-girlfriend because we don't want you back. Like,
yeah, I know. Lies. Man, that's directions, euphemisms, and all that stuff. You could have it, Buffalo. We gave them that game. You know, there was some questionable stuff. I wanted to hear your thoughts since we're talking about Buffalo now. I think the defense played very well considering how badly they were put in situations with some of the turnovers. I mean, that was what killed it for me. But what did you think? What was the key thing why the Jets didn't pull it out?
I mean, you're saying defensively? Defensively, I think they
played
solid. Yeah,
we'll go defensively. I know there's more than that. I mean, you look at the special teams and all that.
They gave up too much on the ground.
Yeah, especially at the end there. Shady McCoy was just gutting us, especially in that second half.
I mean,
I got my co-host on the air, Rob, so I'm going to bring. No, the Bills were not that impressive. Hey, CJ, thanks for coming on, buddy. We got Robbie Jersey joining us here, too.
Hey, what's going on, Robbie? Thanks for calling into the show today. We appreciate it.
What's going on? And you know, one thing I also wanted to point out, like, you're not supposed to win that game when you have four turnovers. But at the end of the day, that's how bad Buffalo is. You had an opportunity to win with four turnovers.
Tyrod Taylor in the second half, he couldn't do anything. I mean, the defense played good, but if you give up that touchdown right before the end of the first half where Devin Smith got it knocked out, you know, he was never a return man. But we had to put him out there because just the lack of bodies. There was a lack of bodies to put out there to return.
That mental mistake probably cost the game because if he just needs it, now they don't have an extra six he gave up.
And then we had the other fumble. Chris Ivory had it just ripped out of his hands, and that was a key one too. Let's talk a little bit on the offensive side. There's a lot of questions about the play calling. I want to get your thoughts, Rob and CJ, about some of the decisions, some of the play callings on third and fourth down, which is what I was the most critical of, all these little check downs that are behind the line of scrimmage or not even close to the first down marker. Robbie, you know, give me your thoughts on the play calling that Chan Gailey did.
I think when something, it's hard to really debate or a play call for one reason. You don't know what's being played, what's being switched out. The one thing I would say, I think the Jets are limited on offense because of the banged up offensive line, because of, you know, Fitzpatrick's a game manager. You can't stretch the field. But then you also, one thing that hasn't been brought up in all the shows, I listen to every show. I got mad love. I love our Jet Nation, period. And I haven't heard anyone say anything about Marshall's injury. I mean, Marshall has a knee injury on one leg, a knee, one leg, ankle. The team is really limited. So, yeah, the play call probably was.
And he got re-aggravated at the end of the first half or beginning of the second. He got it re-injured. So, Marshall was not himself. But, you know, let's be fair. He had some drops, and that had nothing to do with the knees or the ankles. Oh, he had some big drop.
But that isn't that Marshall? Isn't that Marshall's whole career? You know, he makes that highlight career play, and then that's why he's on his third, fourth team. I mean, he's still good, but he's gonna do this. This is who he is.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's fair to criticize. I like Fitzpatrick. I think he gives us a better chance to win right now. I know his arm's limited, and he still does make boneheaded mistakes, but I'm still behind Fitzpatrick. I just think when I look at the team and how they respond with him in there, it's a different feel. You always feel like you have a chance. Yeah, he has a tendency to just chuck it up to whoever he's trusting, Marshall or Decker, but he still gives us a better chance to win right now.
I say certain things and people might – I criticize Fitzpatrick all season, even in wins. And not because, hey, I like what he's doing. I like exactly what you said. He controls the divide. The one thing I've been saying all year, even in the W's, like, I don't think the ball location was bad. Like, he's behind the guy, underneath the guy. You know, you guys have to bail him out. But
Rob, did you see the first series? I think he was, like, throwing it up there. I think the ball was wet, don't get me wrong, but that thing was like 20 yards over everyone's head the first three throws. It was crazy.
And I remember, if you go back a couple weeks, just real quick, the Redskins game, I was sitting in the stadium, and it was like a fourth down play, a third down play, and we ended up kicking a field goal. He threw it to Marshall, and we were driving, we were in like the red zone, and he threw it short, you were behind him. He caught it, and it was short, and we had to kick a field goal. And then, like,
yep,
couple drives later, he throws it to Marshall. real low. Marshall makes a spectacular shoelace catch for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, he had to reach forward about 5 yards and pick it up off the floor almost. Yeah. I remember that CJ, I want to get your thoughts here. Get in on this too, man. So tell me what you're thinking offensively. You know, we're talking about Brandon Marshall now and Fitzpatrick, obviously, but what else are you seeing there that has kind of gotten us stalled? Because I don't think the Buffalo Bills did anything to really stop us. We ran all over them. We just couldn't hang on to the ball on catches, and Fitzpatrick was inaccurate. You know, that's just a fair assessment. He was inaccurate this last game.
Yeah, I have to say one thing as far as the offense is concerned. You know, last night I actually put together a podcast, and I sent it out on SoundCloud.com. If you guys get the opportunity, definitely check it out. And I do touch upon one of these points. And one of the biggest points that I made is the fact that the offensive line, once Nick Mangold goes down with an injury, and you put Wesley Johnson in there, it's like you can see that the line ends up taking a step back. They can't run block. Chris Ivory runs for 2 yards and a cloud of dust, and most of the time he ends up getting hit behind the line of scrimmage for a loss. You know, we can't keep having big injuries, you know, to key players and stuff and not have a suitable backup in there to be able to at least keep the machine going. You know, and we all felt that way. We saw that with the Raiders game when Fitzpatrick went out, and then Geno Smith came in, and pretty much everyone from you know, Jet Nation was all like, oh, great, oh, my God, here we go. Geno Smith is in. You could even tell with the way that the team played. You know, it's ridiculous. We need to be able to have the manpower that even if you have one of your big quality players come out, that you have a backup that can come in. And he may not do what your star is going to do, but he could still keep the machine going. And, you know, I hate to say it, and I hate to reference them because I hate them with every fiber of my being. But you know what? This is what makes the Patriots so successful because of the fact that they could take any garbage heap guy, okay, coach them up and put them in whatever position, all right, and they can still end up being successful. You know, I mean, take a look at their offensive line. Their offensive line, they've got a center who's never played center in the NFL before. He actually plays right guard. Okay, you've got a left guard who's actually been playing right guard, and you've got two tackles that at one time or another were defensive linemen. Okay, and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are making this work. You know, so
yeah.
What is it that they have that we don't have? And why
it's
is
the
it
magic
that all
elixir
of a sudden,
of Brady, man. Brady makes them look better because he gets rid of the ball that quick. And the system they run is all these little rub routes underneath Julian Edelman. Or if everything breaks down, throw it up to the big freaking Gronk. That's their system. You know, they get the ball out as quick as humanly possible. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you could stick any 300-pound guy at guard to block for Brady.
That's
just my thoughts on it. You know, our system
is
similar in a
sense.
Yeah, well, our wide receivers, I think, are better. I really do.
Yeah.
I think the top of our wide receiver corps is better than the Patriots.
Yes, but, I mean, Marshall and Decker give the Jets the best 1-2 punch in the league, in my opinion, because of the fact you have Marshall, he's big, he's strong, you know, he's physical. He's one of those guys that the yards after contact is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's like when he catches the ball, he's not just satisfied with just making the catch. He wants to go through the defender and to anybody else that's going to get in his way. And you know what? You want that kind of tenacity in a receiver. And Eric Decker reminds me so much of Wes Welker. You know, just that deceptive speed. And he's able to just make catches that he's not supposed to make, although he did drop a freaking third down pass, which should have been for a first down. But, you know, he's had a couple of pretty bad drops this year. But nevertheless, you know, he gives you a good receiver who's not afraid to go into places that you really shouldn't be going to make those catches. I mean, come on now. When he caught that touchdown pass, Fitzpatrick threw that ball into almost triple coverage. Okay,
and
he still made that catch.
You know what killed me about this game,
guys? He still made that catch.
What killed me about this game was not the it was the fact that we were able to turn it around so quickly in the second half. Like, the offense, a light bulb switched. Marshall could suddenly catch the ball. Irie was running wild. And that first drive in the third quarter, we get that touchdown back. And then we're right back in it. And then everything falls apart in the fourth quarter. That game pissed me off. It did. If it didn't piss you off as a Jets fan, then I don't know. I'm not going to question your Jets fandom or anything, but, you know, it's time to stop accepting this kind of mediocrity, because this team's better than that.
Right.
They're better than the last four games, and they've been playing like crap.
Mm-hmm.
I think CJ made a great point, and it's something I've been harping on all year. I love what we're doing. I love our new coaching staff. I love the GM. I love all that. But the one thing, area I think they didn't really upgrade enough, and I thought was the biggest problem last year was the offensive line. And you got the one biggest mistake he had, and CJ basically hit on it, but he didn't bring up the guy's name. You have Dozier in a camp. He's supposed to be your backup center all year. You have him ready to go for the past 2 years. He's ready to be your backup center. So this who you prepare. This is your depth chart. Then you bring someone off the street to start. To me, okay, if you didn't start Dozier in that and the spot start, now what's he doing on the team? Like that's the whole idea of building a team. And the same thing when you go back to the draft. You draft Williams, well, you could have picked up an offensive lineman to build it. And I always feel like that's your foundation. Yeah, Ivory's a great running back, but Ivory could be better with a better offensive line. Powell could be a good running back if you give him a hole to run through. Instead of getting a running back that's to overcome the offensive line, how about we build the offensive line? This way your quarterback got time, your running back got time, and then that's what the Jets need to do. For the Jets to be a contender, that offensive line's got to be better. If not, it's only going to be a one-and-done piece.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at Ivory versus everyone else this year running the ball, Ivory makes up so much of a difference. When you look at Stephen Ridley last week just getting plowed in the backfield, when you see Palau Powell mm-hmm. and Zach Stacy barely going anywhere, and then you got to respect Ivory that much more for making that 2 yards in a cloud of dust as opposed to a negative 2 yards. And he does that. He's shifty and
what
big.
Would he do?
He's not going to hold
would,
up.
What would Ivory do if you open a hole and give him the second level every play?
Adrian Peterson. I'm dead serious.
You know,
if he had some space, he's Adrian Peterson. I'm telling you, this guy's that good.
He
you know?
Be. That's where the team has to go. That's in offseason. I don't want to talk about offseason, but I'm saying that's what this team has to do. I predicted this team would be 8-8, and I'm not negative. I'm just being objective. You know, at the end of the day, I think they're going to be better than what I predicted. But until we improve that offensive line, I mean, even if you get a quarterback, even if one of them talk Petty or any quarterback in the future that's going to get behind center, if you don't protect them, they're not going to develop the proper way. That's really what – that's probably – and I'm not defending Geno, but that's part of Geno's fault. He always thinks he's ready to get hit. He's always worried about the protection.
Mm-hmm.
If you
right.
ruin
yeah,
that, you ruin that kid. So now, if you go
yeah,
for
he's
whatever
got David
you put
Carr
behind,
syndrome, dude.
Yeah.
He's got David Carr syndrome.
So
he's got David Carr syndrome. That's what sucks.
You ruin
yeah, I know.
He could be so much better than what he is.
That. You're ruining Petty if you don't upgrade the line. It's just like a cycle. You just got to start in the trenches.
Yeah. So we got a question from Twitter that we'd put out, and we got one of our followers had wanted to ask us, one that I think is very interesting for next week, from Steve Smith, at SSmith3088. With Inunua coming back and 10 days rest, will the Jets get more competent on offense? And, this is a two-parter, were you pleased with the defense? I'm assuming he's talking about Buffalo. But let's talk about the impact of Quincy Inunua on the offense, because I could kind of tell a difference as soon as he went out. But, Robbie, why don't you start since you're our esteemed guest today. Give us your thoughts on his question with Inunua and Houston.
He plays at H-back role. He might not be the best blocker in the league, but he's been working in the system as that H-back. And it does help with the run game. So I think he's going to help out the run game. But most importantly, I think, obviously, you know, obviously we got to stretch the field better to open up the run game as well. But I think Quincy, I think that's what he saw the difference was. It's like you getting reps in that one position. No one else was getting reps in that H-back position, you know. And Quincy's going to have to really, you know, Quincy has an opportunity for a late-round player for the next 7 weeks to prove his, I mean, almost pass, or he already passed him, but secure his spot on the depth chart over Jason Morrow, because that's really Jason Morrow's spot. So I think he makes a big difference. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, put up a shot for him, you know, and same thing. That's the only way this team's ever going to be good is if the running attack is good.
CJ.
Yeah, I have to agree with it. I mean, personally, not for anything. Another person you could slot in that H-back role, you could also slot Kimball Tompkins. I mean, he's been with the team for 2 days, and he's already picked up the system, and he's actually been looking really, really good out there. Kimball Tompkins might actually be a good complimentary
receiver.
He's like
their number three right now already. Just looking at the snap count and looking at where the key situations he's in, he's already splitting out wide. When you're putting Decker or Marshall over the slot, he's already the number three, you know, and he's only been there a couple weeks.
And he's already made some key catches that has kept drives alive for the Jets right there. So, you know, he's also another one that you can see. I want to see some swing outs. How come we don't see any reverses? We've got two of the fastest guys on the team in both Anua and Tompkins. Tompkins is a burner. I don't understand why they don't just take the leash off him and just let him run.
I like his size, too. I like Tompkins' size. And you know, like, one thing I we've been searching for, you know, it seems like we need that third threat, the third defense to worry about. And Tompkins is starting the niche's spot. It's, like you say, he's only been with the team 2 days. Give him a few more weeks. Give him a few more weeks, or give him, hopefully, stays on the team. Give him an offseason. It could be Decker, him, you know, them three, you know, plus a little bit of curls. I mean, I don't know how far Curley's going to go with the team if he's going to go further. But, you know, that we needed. They like, you know, Chan Gailey likes a big body. I think that's what Tompkins fits his mold like.
Excellent. Yeah. I wanted to bring up a couple GOATs and game players from this past week. One that I thought played really well, getting in the backfield, substituting as a safety, coming up off the practice squad as a fan favorite, in Rontaze Miles. I think he played lights out against the run as much as he could. He played pretty well, in my opinion. I don't know what you guys think. I liked what I saw in Rontaze Miles.
Robbie, I'll let you take this one.
I mean, I think I looked up to it. I think he had 7 tackles, 4 solos, 3 assists. I think he played a pretty solid game. I mean, you know what? He's like that guy that busted his tail for years, was on the practice squad, and he's going to appreciate a game start. To me, for someone who's really, he played the week before, I mean, Sunday on the field, but someone just get on the field for your first real NFL game, that was solid. I mean, it was just enough that, hey, he could stay on that team and be death. I think that was big, and I'd like to see him more, you know?
Yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere. He's played himself into some kind of role on that roster. I don't think you could take him out. And with the injuries at safety anyway, you know, I mean, he's going to be playing. And one other thing I wanted to bring up, a GOAT, and this is just, I think all week since Thursday I've been looking up when I open my eyes, and it's like, Kellen Davis, lift your damn head up and catch the ball, man. Kellen Davis didn't know what the heck was going on that throw, but he could have caught that touchdown in the fourth quarter to seal the game, and he just didn't look up. You know, if he's not blocking good, he can't catch, what the heck is he doing on the team? I don't know. That's just me. Kellen, look up.
Yeah, damn straight, Kellen Davis, look up, because I don't even think he expected that the ball was coming his way.
No.
Because essentially, I mean, you saw Fitzpatrick was scanning over his matchups, and he saw the best matchup in Kellen Davis versus a slow-ass linebacker. And all Kellen Davis has to do is look up, is like turn his head, and the ball is like right there in the bread basket. And he just like, huh? What's going on?
Hey, sarcastically speaking, maybe Kellen Davis felt like the rest of the Jets fans. You're going to really put the whole game in my hands? You know, I don't think he expected the pass. Like, you know, like that's what, at the end of like Monday night quarterback. And I'm like, man, we got the game was on the line for Kellen Davis to catch it. I think he was more shocked than anyone else.
He was looking to do some kind of block, you know. And then he was like, oh, crap. That's right. I'm supposed to be open here. You know, that one killed me. Real quick, we've only got a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you on a lighter note now. We're going to preview the Texans game next week. We're not going to get into that. We're still a long ways out. Fitzgerald's got a surgery. Hopefully he could be back in time. Hopefully everyone else gets healthy in the meantime over the next, you know, 9 days or so. But throughout this question to Jets fans, And I wanted to get what you guys are doing today. Now that there's no Jets football today, what are you doing today? We got some interesting answers. A couple people cheering for the Raiders and Steelers to lose today. We got Krista, XX3, watching football, which is always a great plan. And then we got someone raking leaves today, which I told them that's not that fun. But, you know, you got to do it. A bunch of leaves on the ground, you got to rake them up. So have fun, man. That's Ace Phil. Ace Jets Phil out there. So what are you guys doing today instead of watching the Jets?
Well, I'll try to stay happy, bro. I don't really root against or for them. I just tell you that. I just look at the end of the day, the scoreboard. It's like, I just love football. I watch football just objectively, you know, no stress. But, you know, like I hear, you know, one thing, one question, I hate to refer you, change the question a little bit. I've seen it on Facebook that a lot of people are asking, are you rooting for the Giants against the Pats? And, you know, I don't like neither team. So I'm not rooting for neither team. So, like, I could care, you know, it would be not, I care less. Like, you know, so it's like, right now, I think it's premature. Though I thought it was premature a couple weeks ago when everyone was talking players. I think you just got to take it 1 week at a time to see where it goes. It'll all work out if it's meant to be. Like, I hate to be cliche, but
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Rob
Bowles.
That's what Todd Bowles would say. That's exactly what Todd Bowles would say. 1 week at a time, man.
Right. Look at it because I've been a Jeff fan, like, just as long as you guys, man. Hey, look, if I take a loss on the chin and be miserable, I'll be a miserable person. So it's like, you got to take your eyes off the sport. We got to like, all right, you were mad the other day. Okay, you're over. Not over, but you're moving forward. The 5-4, go beat the Texans. Let's go one game at a time. One game at a time. Before you know it, you never know. Football is a week-to-week league. It's like we're banged up. The teams that were competing for that wild card could get banged up and go into a two-game streak of losing. So it's just like, keep plugging away. And I don't even want to say bold. You know, one of the best things I love coming from Jets is what Chad Penn said all the time. Just chop away like at the wood. Chop away. And that's what I think next week's about.
All right, CJ, any parting thoughts for the listeners? Only got a couple minutes here. Because we're cheap.
Absolutely.
That's why
go
we only have a couple minutes. Because we're cheap. That's just straight up the truth. If we were less frugal, we would have more time. But we're cheap. So we're just doing the half-hour
right,
thing.
Exactly. Well, you know, again, just to, if you get the opportunity to check out the pod that I dropped last night and posted, www.soundcloud.com/CNC Football Factory. Check us out. You know, tell me what you think. I did promote this show in there. You know, so if anybody got the opportunity to listen to it, that show segued into this show. So also want to thank Robbie for joining us on such short notice. You know, always a pleasure to have you on, bro. You know, you got the open invitation. Hop on anytime you want. And, you know, essentially my parting thought for today, if you're not watching football, do something constructive. Sleep, spend some time with your family, and just appreciate the little things in life because you never know when they can all disappear in a blink of an eye.
And take your wife out. This way you can watch Jets next weekend.
That's right.
Take your wife out, yeah. That's always good advice. Hey, Robbie, give everyone your contact info before we head out of here. We've got about 90 seconds.
It's Robbie Jersey, capital RobbyY Jersey, JERZEE. Hey, man, you guys are doing a great job. Hey, thanks a lot for having me. You guys are the best. Get up.
Anytime, Robbie.
Thanks, man.
That's Robbie Jersey. Go hit him up. Listen to his stuff, too. He's got some stuff out there, out in the blogosphere as well. So we've got about a minute left, CJ. Ah, man. It's going to be an interesting week for the Jets. I'm looking forward to not really stressing about the Jets or anything. We're going to catch some football here and there. We've got a family thing going on with my wife's parents and family, so we're kind of doing that this afternoon. And I think we have to cook something. I don't know. So that's what I'll be doing. I'm not even sure what – it's some kind of rice-potato hybrid food of some kind that we're making.
No, I don't know.
So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Go get your apron.
Get my apron.
So the apron and the biohazard suit.
Pretty much. All right. Well, with the last few seconds here, I just wanted to say, enjoy your Sunday, everybody. Thanks for listening. And I'll try to be nicer on Twitter because I've been kind of a dick. I understand that. But I'll try to be nicer. Anyway, so long,
all right,
everybody.
You got it. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.